Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, my name is Almeen, and we're here to spend an hour with you and answer a lot of questions, some things pertaining to ascension, and also the fun questions that some of them you have sent in. And we've got Rogier Sade with us today. And Rogier, thank you for helping us. I appreciate it. It makes life more interesting because it gives me a couple of curveballs. And so when you're with us on the show, it gets more diverse and more of a beautiful final product.
All right. Well, I might have a curveball or two for you this episode, but we'll start off with something that's more, let's see, straightforward. In one of the previous episodes, you discussed manifestation and inevitability with reference to the middle finger on the left hand, and that was in an episode about the anatomy and dream symbolism of the toes and the fingers. And we have a question which basically is about manifestation and therefore also about inevitability, namely, is it really true to say that we can manifest anything we want or anything we desire, which, of course, is referring to the, you know, the quite recent trends of the law of attraction and you can create anything you want kind of thing.
Yes. It is true unless it goes against inevitability. So in other words, we cannot go outside of the pattern. That's part of the ascension. What the ascension did is took a pattern that held together, and it was like somebody putting a fist through a spider web. It broke the pattern. And from the loss of energy because of the disruptive way in which this is broken, we went to a lower pattern and a lower and a lower. That is basically what descension is. So we can't go outside of the laws of inevitability, the great matrix or template of existence.
But by pattern and such, what do you mean?
Well, by pattern, we have to really go back to that issue of the metal shavings, like sawdust, you know, from metal on the back of a glass. You turn the glass upside down, you make a little round of cardboard, and you put the metal shavings on top, and you use your tuning fork to go ting against the glass, and every subsequent note as you go up in the scale will make a more intricate and intricate pattern arrange itself on that cardboard. In fact, I don't think you turn the glass upside down. I think it has to stand straight up.
Yeah.
Because the frequency of the sound in the glass is what arranges the metal shavings into a pattern. The frequency determines the shape of the pattern. The cosmos is like that. And when we move from a lower pattern to a more intricate, higher pattern, a more refined level of life, what then actually happens is that there's power released and there's more power and energy and life force and so on available. If, however, we go against the pattern and if Mother permitted us to be able to break the pattern of existence, it would mean a descension, a loss of energy and life force, because a lower pattern would have to be developed. In other words, it's like going lower with your tuning forks. The patterns become less complex and highly evolved. So that is really what I mean by that. We can manifest anything, but it is within the laws of inevitability.
Okay, now I'm still not entirely clear what inevitability would be, or at least how one is to discern it, or is that simply done through the heart?
Okay. how you would discern inevitability is absolutely the guidance of the heart, but it comes actually more in the guidance of instinct. Because when you work with the pattern, you put the full force of the cosmos behind you, and now you are a being of great power. It's when you work against the power, putting your own selfish desires against the good of the whole. It is under those circumstances that you actually end up, with a loss of energy, and life gets harder. So beating your head where the battle is not worth fighting, that's why I was asking Donnie, is the battle worth fighting for you? Because a battle is actually never against circumstances. A battle is always a battle for perception. You strengthen that which you oppose, and you attract that which you fear, and you empower what you focus on. Those are very important principles to learn. Because otherwise we are like, the Don Quixote in Cervantes's novel with our sword fighting the windmills for the rest of our life. That is not the frugal living of a warrior. There are times when it's our battle, but there are times when the stakes are not high enough. Then we don't battle. Then we sit back, because the stakes are always perception. Are we going to perceive something from this? You see, that's all that matters. Because when we grow in perception, we evolve all life.
Okay, now, looking at manifestation, what then would be indicative of me trying to manifest something that is really about my selfish desires? I mean, how would I know that? What would be signs?
Okay. See, there's an interesting thing, there's a couple of ways to answer this. There's an interesting thing that recently occurred. In the Book of Life, there was something written that dealt with, let me just go back and remember exactly how it went. I can't remember now. Repeat your question for me one more time if it will refresh my memory, please.
Well, I was wondering what would be indicative of me trying to, or me working from selfish desires and attempting to have something be manifest.
Mother has said in Book of Life that there should never be contracts amongst all beings that she has created, that there should be agreements, because contracts are of the head and agreements are of the heart. A contract of the head pulls us into thought and separates us from that inseparable union of feeling and mind, of perception. She's made it an inseparable union. So the point of the matter is that for us to have a contract with someone else no longer is the case, but there is something that is the case. We have contracts with only one being, and that's the infinite. So if we have contracts with the one infinite being, my brothers and sisters, we might have a contract that we are looking for a partner. And we want a partner, say. So, because we spoke a lot about partners of destiny during the last show. So let's say we want a partner. And our heart tells us that this is the time to find yourself. Because you might be preparing for yourself for something magnificent that's coming in the future. That is part of the union that you contracted with Mother that would be for the highest joy of you, but would unite principles by proxy in the cosmos. Example would be, we have people residing in the hollow earth. Some of them are on their way out to the crust. Your partner might be in the hollow earth. You might be the first light worker to actually find their partner of destiny from the inner earth. It might symbolize the uniting of the etheric into the physical, a principle that has just taken place cosmically. And we've spoken about it on previous shows. But this principle might be symbolized by you coming in partnership with this perfect partner from the inner earth. But let's say you don't deal with parenting your inner child, and so a neediness develops. So you go to dating, and you date online, and you go to whatever there's out there, you know, in terms of matching couples together, and, you know, you try and put your best foot forward, and you can feel it's not quite right, but the neediness is overriding it. And when that happens, you're swimming upstream. So you will feel through your heart, your instinct will tell you, and the heart will interpret this instinct, and it will say to you, you know, it's not right, this doesn't feel good, but no, if I don't try, and then the head overrides. That's an example of overriding the matrix. The instinct will guide you. So does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it helps a little bit.
Kracht of niet?
Yeah.
Faint approval.
I was thinking really what else to ask about this whole matter of manifesting and inevitability, because there is still more often than not this picture painted about you can manifest anything you want, and something which I guess kind of taps into the sort of more consumerist spirit, but I was really trying to place myself in the position of an impartial bystander and really think what else might be scrutinized about this topic.
Well, you know what we can look at, Rogier, that is an example that might help a little more with the clarity of this issue. Let's say you want a Ferrari. And that is what you want to manifest. You see, to get the Ferrari, you have to manifest abundance. So really, the Ferrari is the end result of the abundance. So if you focus directly on the Ferrari, it's going to take a very long time. And I'm now speaking about this principle of manifestation. We leave now behind inevitability. But it will take a very long time, perhaps, to get that Ferrari. If ever. But on the other hand, if you focus on the principle of abundance, the Ferrari becomes a side effect, and you're now focusing on something that is part of inevitability, because the entire cosmos is full of abundance. And abundance is in the stars, it's in the grains of sand, it's in the field flowers, it's in the blood cells, it's in everything. So if you align yourself with the principle that will bring it about, you've put a lot of power behind your ability to manifest. If you tackle the face value item head on, it's going to take a long time. It's not impossible, but you don't have the cosmos working with you.
Okay, but then it still doesn't automatically follow that. Well, actually, yeah, I see what you're getting at.
And see, money is similar, isn't it? Because, I mean, money is the object. But money stands for something. Money actually stands for freedom. And that's a very core issue. It represents crystallized power. When that power is released, there is freedom of movement. The same principle applies in the cosmos. Now, I'm going to talk about the building blocks of life the way they used to be, and then we'll finish up and take a quick commercial break here. But in the way that they used to be, there's been some metamorphosis that's happened, and you can certainly track it in the previous archives as well as on YouTube and iTunes. But my brothers and sisters, the principle is like this. There were particles called presence particles. They're subatomic particles that had the highest octave frequency in them. They're the particles that held that pattern in place that we've been discussing. Well, that pattern, when it changes to a higher pattern, it releases power. Power sets things in motion, and the motion creates energy. And And so what happens is movement takes place. Money is crystallized power. When it is spent, meaning it's the power is released, it creates fluidity in your life. It gives you the ability to get on an airplane and go to Hawaii or Las Vegas or the Riviera or wherever you want to go. It gives you the ability to maybe have another little cottage somewhere so you can go back and forth with the seasons if you don't like the winters where you are. It gives you freedom. It gives you the freedom not to have to grow your corn to get your bread. You can go to the store and buy it. They've just freed up so much time. So it buys freedom, and the freedom is the ability of movement when crystallized power is released. So you don't focus on the money. You focus on the principles.
Yeah, I think really the theme of crystallized power and movement is one that we should probably explore further at some point, because I think it's a much more in-depth explanation and illustration of how manifestation really works, because we can sort of do our affirmations and visualizations and in the meantime just continue to veg out in front of the television every day, but it's not really going to change very much.
Well, you know, I'm happy to talk about it now, or unless you want to go somewhere else with the questioning.
No, all right, let's talk about it.
Oh, but you know, we forgot the commercial break again. Darn, I do it every time. We'll be right back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
So
okay, all right, I guess there was a miscommunication. We're going to look at crystallized power and movement.
Is that what you wanted to look at, or more at manifestation?
Well, I thought that was the point, was that that was kind of interconnected with each other, these things.
Okay, well, let's look at abundance. And the reason I'm having your here talk is I just happened to take a bite of a little peanut butter cup that I found by the phone this morning when I came to do the show. So I just took a bite, so thank you for bailing me out. To our family, the issue of manifestation, of abundance. See, let's say the mirrors in your environment do not manifest abundance. We have said to get the mirrors to change, you must change it within. So if that's the case, if there's not abundance around you, then there is not abundance within you. Look at the areas of your life with the utmost care as to where you are withholding and stingy. And here is what you may want to take a look at, because lightworkers tend to be in this area at flaws. Where do you withhold from yourself? You may give and give and give and give to others and be totally withholding from yourself. My brothers and sisters, you may be withholding in terms of your energy. You know, you may want some funding in your life, but be a total spendthrift with energy, and it's flowing out and you're not replenishing it. An example of that, we've said how the creed of the warrior says that they live frugally. That means they can live as abundantly as they like, but what they're frugal with is where they allow their energy to go, because their energy is changing their inner world. So the abundant principles, if you squander energy fighting battles that are not yours to fight, if you squander energy by pacifying others, if you squander energy by allowing yourself to feel happy because you don't, you know, there might be issues of self-love that are not in place, so you settle for feeling needed, so you go around helping and helping and helping. My brothers and sisters, that's not the way to make the world a better place. Believe it or not, the way to make the world a better place is to first totally supply your own needs to fullness. Only then to serve, because you see, we are all connected through the heart. And if you can just imagine, for instance, that all of us are a big spider web. Where the lines intersect, there are little, let's make them dewdrops, little nodules. That's our individual lives. Those little dewdrops are each of us. The dewdrops together make a pattern that supports the whole. When you abandon yourself in terms of helping other dewdrops, you're not on your post. There's no dewdrop. But the other person's doing the same thing, and the other person's doing the same thing. Eventually, there's nobody home for themselves. If all of us run around living only for others, outside circumstances, for outside needs, like feed me a life through the television because I don't have one of my own, it is imperative that we are home for ourselves. It's only from there that we start to conserve energy. Interact sparingly with your world, my brothers and sisters. The majority of the people out there will drain energy without contributing much of anything. So interact sparingly, especially as your light grows larger and larger and larger. They cannot handle the brilliance. And if it grows very much larger, you're also now in opposite matter and energy. And so be aware.
Actually, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's really interesting when we point out the relationship here, because if you look on the one hand at this tendency for light workers to sort of always be trying to help, you know, especially those sort of like, who really just sort of draining our energy, but because we still may have that conditioning that this is the right thing to do. And if you look at that, certainly in terms of the sort of, you know, the cosmic pole shift that occurred in August of 2006 with the laws of energy and matter changing. And that on the one hand, and on the other hand, this sort of money issue for light workers, you can see that wandering their energy in one place is also leading to this kind of lack of financial abundance.
Exactly. And coupled with that love-hate relationship we've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because they, on the one hand, they really feel they're more worthy to have the finances than others, and on the other hand, they feel that the money itself is unworthy. So it's a love-hate relationship.
Yep. Okay. Now, I think we have done that topic properly. What do you think?
I do, too. I
all right. Well, I want to actually go on to something. It's just that earlier you said you still had to uncover something new about karma, but we did actually touch on karma in one of the I'm not sure how many episodes ago it was, but I think it ties in as well with what we're talking about, manifestation, inevitability, to talk about a little bit about karma, certainly because it doesn't exist anymore.
Yes. So, my brothers and sisters, what there is being removed out of the cosmos, more and more and more, the cleansing that is spoken about in the book of Revelation, it speaks about how the leaders of the world, the kings and the princes and so on, they won't find a place to hide themselves. They will hide in caverns in the earth. In many instances, these are underground facilities. But no matter where they are, they cannot hide from the time of purging. This time of purging has been going on and going on now for some years, since the massive cosmic ascension began in February of 2005. What has recently been removed? Yesterday a soul group was removed. Today a soul group was removed this morning. And all those who are deliberately malevolent, one by one, the specific groups of beings that those categories fall into are being removed. So the issue becomes, in regards to karma, that a lot of what, let's look at how karma is formed. Karma is formed either when a being does not look at their highest perception at all. They will do what they want to do. They live, in their opinion, above the law, and so they do what they want to do. This is one form that can create karma, and karma is the warping of the matrix. It's that which can damage the matrix. So Mother has placed in the Book of Life that these groups are disappearing, that deliberately injure. They don't care if it's right or wrong. They will do what they will do. But there's a second group that create karma. And those that have blockages in their perception, those that aren't developed, those that aren't enlightened, that have blockages in their perception, they have not yet solved. Those blockages in their perception create acts that warp the web. And by perception, I mean cognitively and non-cognitive in terms of feelings through the heart, because it's another way of perceiving. So we have them as part of beings that are not malevolently ill-intended, but what they are is misguided. That karma is really what we need to look at, because the other, Mother is erasing them. And now, with this, however, there is a very large change that took place, and I was asked this on the previous radio show, and I didn't have the answer. And I tried to ask briefly in our little break, but I couldn't get that either. And so I asked this morning in case it would be asked of me again. Mother says that individuals' karma is likewise affected by the different way in which light now moves. We have spoken of how light is no longer linear. Light is exponential. Light is accessed information. Information is now being telepathically, which is immediately, communicated everywhere. So, let's say Susie doesn't understand that she's not a victim. It's a part of her perception is just blocked. She thinks she's a victim. So, here's Susie thinking she's a victim, and we have a situation where if Susie doesn't get it, she's going to make actions that warp the web. Now, it has to be fixed. It has to create some sort of a karma. But it is fixed when somebody else, somewhere in the cosmos, gets Susie's perception. They know they're not a victim. And so the warping of the web is prevented. The web is maintained by the highest perception. not by the lowest, because the highest perception will instantly fill the gaps. Susie clearly has a gap in her perception, so she no longer has to linearly do this by herself and go lifetime after lifetime trying to finally get it that, you know what, I'm not a victim. So over there, you know, Billy in the Pleiades got it, and so instantaneously the warp does not exist because someone has that. If there is a cosmic blind spot, which there is often amongst mother's children, mother doesn't have blind spots. It was a simulation, if you will, these cycles of the fall in which mother entered into forgetfulness. But somewhere, if we have as a cosmos a blind spot, when that blind spot is fixed because somebody goes into the unknowable, knowing something that nothing has ever been known before, then everything moves to a higher pattern, and the pattern just becomes a little more perfect. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with you.
The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book. In its content, it is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So here I can imagine that you still have questions about this because I had to end rather abruptly. Where are the gaps that I need to fill?
The main gap would be simply that I was under the impression that karma does not exist, although now does not exist anymore, although now I'm wondering how that statement would be qualified.
Karma needs to be redefined, is a more accurate way to say it. Because karma, the way we thought of it, doesn't exist anymore. And the reason is the collapsing of linear time. When linear time collapsed, past things that we had to get weren't in our face anymore. If we did something wrong in the past, you know, we had to be presented with a similar situation, so it's done to us so we can get it. This whole long way of, okay, I hit you in the face, so okay, next lifetime you hit me in the face. Now I finally get one lifetime later that I don't hit people in the face. Learning is now totally exponential. We can in an instant learn what we didn't learn in thousands of lifetimes before. It's instantaneous. And the more we silence the dialogue of the mind, the more that occurs. So, you know, so we have got instantaneous knowledge being spread. We spoke about how the oracles worldwide are picking up on the same themes everywhere. I'm just this hub in the middle that puts all their wonderful work together and coordinates it. But the point is that it's happening, and it's happening to people everywhere if they just knew it. I'm sure many people are having the same type of themes in their dreams and so on, but there isn't like a center that coordinates it, you see, which for my classes, I am that. And so, Ruhir, so we've got the information immediately available to everyone because we're living in this hundreds monkey syndrome. I think we said that about two shows ago. Well, the same thing applies for misperception. So Susie doesn't have to go lifetime after lifetime till she finally gets that she's not a victim. Somebody knows somewhere they're not a victim. If Susie could just still the dialogue in her mind, she will know it instantaneously and effortlessly without needing to go through the experiences. Now, if 100,000 people know it, now it's much more prevalently known. It's much more strongly knocking on the door. It may even penetrate the dialogue of her mind. And, you know, and so forth. So what karma is at this point is something we need to see. But we can see it right now. We don't need to live the experiences, which is generally what karma was defined as, you see.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm thinking something intelligent to say to that because it's a really fascinating fascinating insight to understand this about the exponential nature of things as they are currently.
Yes. Yeah.
To see that.
You know what it's a little bit about? It's a little bit like spreading fluid across a smooth surface. But there's a pothole, a little pit hole somewhere. And it will automatically fill with fluid and reach the same level. That's how it is.
Okay. Interesting. Now, let's see. I've got another question. I'm really kind of wondering how much time we have because otherwise I might pick a different one.
No, we've got quite a bit.
All right.
We've got 10 minutes till our next break and you know, and then one more section.
Oh, okay. I think I'm kind of mixed up in terms of the timeline we're on. you mentioned oracles.
Time collapsed. You're forgiven.
Yeah. You mentioned oracles previously in this show, and I wanted to sort of ask a question about that, which I was actually asked. Namely, you speak about these oracles that are in the orders, and they access information and you know, they're the spokes and you're the hub in the wheel. Now, what does this mean that anyone in the world can just be accessing this kind of information and pass it on to you, or do they need to be ordained first in an order?
Well, there's a couple of things. All information is available to everyone. The orders that Mother has had me call, which is, you know, a concept to me that I didn't previously premeditate. It simply was, go and do it, and I did it. The orders have a very specific function, so let's look at their functions. Number one, it is as guardians of the sacred libraries, 129 sacred libraries that have opened worldwide. It's as guardians of those libraries. The libraries that the orders have under their guardianship or stewardship are totally accessible to those who are called by Mother to be the guardians. The issue is that all the guardians of the sacred libraries are in very, very advanced stages of evolution. So they're the highest evolutionary stages on Earth. So, you know, no, not anybody can become a guardian of an order, etc. Anybody can access all information, but, let's go back to the but. So, some of them are brand new. They come to class, they only know that they should be there. We experience such extraordinary things in that class, and because they're walking shoulder to shoulder with beings in that class that are already in their ascended mastery, they shoot in. Part of it by grace, but part of it because their left brain gives up. Because what we experience and teach and learn is beyond where our left brain can go. And the interaction of the Holy Mother and Father with the class makes it the most holy site on earth, so they shoot into ink there. But, it's not for everybody because it requires tremendous courage to let go of your belief systems. Most people are very cushy and cozy, and we've spoken about the pyramid of learning as this being the capstone. If you're ready for the capstone to let go of everything, then you're ready. And your heart will guide you there, and life will make it possible for you to be there. So, there is a certain level, and they have a certain task, and they have access to those libraries. Those libraries have incredible magical devices in them. They have knowledge. I was talking to a very dear friend in Australia the other night, and I was telling him, you have no idea what's in the ISIS library. There is science. There are behavioral sciences. There are metaphysics. There are deepest mysteries of magic. There are holistic things about the human body that if we could just understand, it would be so magnificent. There are thousands and thousands of plates to be translated. If somebody can plonk me down in a corner and just let me translate for the next 100 years, we can make the tiniest dent in it. That's what's in there. They have access to that. So now you can imagine what, the abilities that they have in terms of gathering information. So, the next thing is that where unto whom much is given, much is expected. But unto whom much is expected, much is also given. They walk in absolute impeccability if they're in these roles, and then they receive tremendous gifts. Now, those gifts that are given to them are beyond what the average person has. A, because they've silenced the dialogue of their mind, so they're in the very advanced stages. And B, because of their job of being custodians of this body of information, and each of the libraries contain huge amounts of incorruptible white magic as well as sacred objects. And they are constantly being sent back and forth and back and forth by the mother and father to do jobs. Even as they go about their teaching jobs, their doctor jobs, their scientist jobs, they're doing it in their days. They're, because for them, it's just half an hour and they're gone. And for them, it's like hours have gone by. They come back. They do their work. This is how they do it. So they do so much, and the more they do, the more abilities they receive. So I can guarantee you that I don't care how psychic people are out there, in terms of knowing what the next steps are for evolving life on Earth, these oracles are the best.
Okay, now, in discussing this so far, we're talking about information that can be retrieved through having access to one or more of the many libraries that are opening up or have opened up. But let's say, for example, that talking about receiving communications from the mother or the father, how does that work? Because we probably can't say that, only in this order can you receive such communication.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And as people embrace this work, it pushes them very, very far ahead. I will tell you, the place where the problem happens is interpretation. In the instance of interpretation, because of the work that I have done for Mother since February of 2005, my interpretation skills are very high. The oracle's seer skills are right up there. But the interpretation of these things, the bigger your vision is of the work that happens, the better. Let me explain that in this way. Somebody hears Mother say such and such to him or to her. That is absolutely wonderful. And it can be a daily occurrence. It can be a multi times a day occurrence. However, if linear mind isn't silenced, they will misinterpret some of it. That's number one. The second factor that will make them misinterpret some of it, and I've seen this over the years over and over again, the second factor that will make them misinterpret it is if they do not know day by day what has transpired in the cosmos. So day by day, things are changing. Laws are changing. Realities are changing. And when we interpret mother's words or father's words, it has to be interpreted within the then reality. Not a reality that might have existed 10 years ago and some teacher wrote about it in a book. Or the reality we were taught as kids or what we think we know. It's off base. So it's the interpretation of it that's flawed. And this is an issue that I've had with some of the masters that are in the orders, is if they can just give me their experiences, their feelings around the experiences, and leave the head brain part out of there, then it's going to be 100% accurate. And those that do that have it 100% accurate. It's the ones that try and plug it into an existing truth here or existing truth there that, it's tedious because I have to go through and sort out like you would comb somebody's hair with a lot of knots in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the problem, what makes it difficult once again, as we've discussed previously, is the still believing that we know, which therefore clouds whatever information is conveyed.
Exactly. It's the humility of a child that makes it possible. My brothers and sisters, let's take a quick little break, and we'll be right back. Please stay with us.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Velvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almine is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almine, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back for the last segment of our show today. So, what other questions would you like us to look at?
I would actually like to stay still on this topic of oracles. First of all, one thing which I was still meaning to ask is, now I know you received this as a question the other day, and I was kind of curious to find how you'd answered it, because I know a sister was asking about channeling Isis and being able to channel Isis, and the implication being that this was a useful thing necessarily. And I was actually kind of curious what you would say to that, if you haven't indeed done so already.
Some of the archetypal goddesses that people ask me about, when they do, and my brothers and sisters, I am trying, there's a mountain of faxes that comes in each day. I'm not computer literate, so everything comes to me by fax, and absolute mountain of it, from the oracles, from just listeners, from everyone. And I am delighted because I learned from all of your faxes. But, you know, the hours I'm working are growing quite long. I don't know how much longer I can answer all of these things directly versus, say, on the air. But some of the goddesses you're asking me about, I look and look and look, and I can't find them. They are archetypes that have ceased to exist. So even in my book, A Life of Miracles, I give you the goddess archetypes. It's helpful to understand those archetypes because they are still principles that need to be incorporated into our life. But the specific goddesses that I gave there are no longer there. They're obsolete. It's important to live the principles. So, you know, that's not... It's very useful, but they're not there. So sometimes people say, well, can I channel this goddess, you know, or Nefertiti or somebody, and they're not even existing any longer as an individuation, or they've moved on, or they've incarnated or something. So it's very rare that they're, you know, that that's the case. Isis absolutely does exist, but there are secrets about Isis that are written in the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, that you need to find. Because the information in there, if you are serious about getting a committed relationship with the goddess Isis, and there's so much about her we can talk about and perhaps we can do it even on our next show. However, you need to understand her secrets to at least the best of your ability that she's already given. So my absolute recommendation is, yes, you need not channel her, my brothers and sisters. You would be able to go the next step. Channeling is a very non-productive way for someone to live because of the fact that there is a sort of an observer mode that they're in. It goes through them if they're a proper channel and hopefully a clear channel. There's the next step is where you can telepathically communicate with someone like Isis, and there can be a conversation held. Now, in the Isis book, is it Opening the Doors of Heaven, the Revelations of Isis, it goes multiple layers deep. Mother has told me that that book's information is 144 layers deep. Each time you read it, you will get one more layer. As you grow, then you get the next layer. There are secrets in there about Isis that you have to figure out. My job is to be a scribe, to translate the records and write them as quickly as I can. Your job is to give them roots, to study it, to have a relationship with Isis, get to know her language, get to know her glyphs, get to know her story. It's not what has been told, because our records have been tampered with. And even mythology does not properly give the story behind the story that's in the records of Isis herself, which are one set of them was translated into that book. So do your part of it. Then you will find that connection happening, and then you can speak with her. And, you know, when that happens, it's a very beautiful thing.
Okay, now, I think one quick question still. You were saying previously how the problem is with accessing the information for oracles or students, masters in your class, that, you know, if the mind has to be silenced. Now, I was wondering if this issue has been resolved already, that I know some people have been insistent on dragging all these works of other authors into the work. Has that been resolved already?
Okay, well, I'm not entirely sure of your question.
You were saying that you, people to access the information of the libraries, they sort of need to sort of release this idea of really interpreting and just accessing the information. And I know at the same time there's a tendency to use other authors as well to interpret the work and combine it with the work that they're doing for the orders.
When somebody walks the walk of accessing these holy libraries, and we have in our previous programs spoken of the Brahmish chakra and the Lahun chakra that every person has containing within them the Akashic records, in the case of the Lahun chakra, and the mysteries of the libraries, in the case of the Brahmish chakra. You can access them even if you're not in the order, under specific conditions, when these chakras become activated. So look up on the archives and you'll find that information. However, the oracles themselves, the masters themselves, have become custodians. There is no body anywhere else that has experienced anything like what they are asked to do on behalf of mother and father. Any book that is written anywhere is written from such a lower level if you are not writing from the very tippy top of the capstone for those in the capstone. It's pointless for the capstone to go to the base of the pyramid, which has a very valid existence. And the majority of light seekers are there. It deals with the known. This is not the known. And what's in the libraries is beyond the Akashic records. It's mother's secrets. And so, you know, the infinite mother secrets is definitely not placed in the Akashic records because of the multiple eons that we've had. Gods of darkness have tried everything they could. They're not there any longer, but she hid them, and it's in the library. So there's no one, but no one, that can prepare for that, my brothers and sisters, other than the work that we together translate, because my classes are assisting me with this. They're bringing in information. I'm bringing in the secrets of the libraries. They're bringing in the beings of the libraries. They're bringing in the glyphs, wonderful devices. We're working it together, but it's the absolute cutting edge. And if they are doing that, and they're daily getting the privilege of talking to mother and father and having these experiences where they're going back and forth between realities, they dare not put other information in there that comes from people with egoic self in ego identification. There's no scripture out there. There is nothing that is able to assist them on this path. They are producing scripture. That's what interaction with deity is. We've got to close. Thank you for wonderful questioning, Rogier. Appreciate it. And folks, we'll be back again next week.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life was dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.